Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Luke, may the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann, live from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
Yes, on time.
Wearing your yellow blazer with the WGN logo on it, as always. Nice work, my friend.
I wish I had one of those.
Right?
That would be great.
I wonder where those are. I wonder if the families of, like, Jack Taylor or some, or actually Jack's still around, but I wonder if some of these guys actually still have, like, Skilling has his original Channel 9 jacket.
They might.
Yeah.
They might.
We have Jack Brickhouse's brown Channel 9 jacket.
The one at the Broadcast Museum.
Yeah,
yeah. Gotcha. Well, yeah, gotcha. That's, you have to have that.
You have to have that. You have to have that.
Is it hanging next to a great big WGN Channel 9 camera, perhaps? That, no, seriously.
It's close
was
to it.
At Wrigley Field? Or
there was a...
worked on Bozo's Circus, something like that?
We've got some of his Emmys and scripts, and there's a baseball bat chair that was given to him that Pat donated to us. So it's a nice little Jack Brickhouse area, some microphones and all that other good stuff.
I am still in shock over finding that Jack Brickhouse script in the little town of Atlanta in their little museum there, because there was a singing girls trio that apparently had some fame or some notoriety around the Midwest back during World War II. And there was, in the museum, posted pictures of the girls and a radio script that I started reading through. And I said to my father, who was with me, I said, that's got to be Jack Brickhouse. And sure enough, I look at the top line, you know.
That's cool.
Good evening, folks.
That's
Jack Brickhouse here for Meisterbrow.
That's awesome.
Oh.
That's awesome. You know, it reminds me, I got to go to Wrigley and go to the Brickhouse Tavern and have a drink for Jack this Christmas.
Yeah, and you will enjoy the Christmas market that's there.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Nice setup.
I have, Pat gave me years ago, I've never told this story before. It's actually, I'll show it to you when you come over next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the radio, it is like a vintage radio that Wally Phillips gave Jack in 1981.
Really?
On the day of his retirement.
Retirement?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that cool?
There's a little plaque with the old WGN Globe logo on it.
Oh, you're giving me chills.
Yeah, it's cool. Make sure I show it to you when you come.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. What do we got going on? Oh, some history. Let's dive into some of this. 1800. I don't know if you know this. I was talking to Roger about this earlier. I was in London and Ireland for literally 52 hours this week. I had to go there for
talk
business.
About a whirlwind trip.
Well, my business is, you know, I'm in the, you know, creative and marketing and retail environment business, and we were looking at a new press out in Manchester, and we left Wednesday afternoon and came home Friday for dinner.
Wow.
I'm ready to go to 15 minutes. You're going to see smoke leaving the chair here because I'm going to take a nap, I got to tell you. 1800, Washington, D.C. established as the U.S. capital of the U.S. Prior to Washington being the capital of the United States, where was it?
New York City.
There's several places. Philadelphia, Independence Hall, and Congress Hall. New York City was Federal Hall. And a number of other locations, the Maryland State House in Annapolis, and then the Nassau Hall in Princeton, New Jersey. also served as the Capitol.
Oh, as the building itself.
Yeah, the building itself.
Yes.
It was all over the place.
Right, I know.
Before D.C.
Well, you know, they had to figure out a central location.
Right.
George Washington referred to it as the Federal City before it was named for him.
That's right,
so,
that's right.
You know, it was one of those things where they couldn't decide.
Yeah, he probably didn't call it Washington.
No. Well, they said it was just called the Federal City or the District of Columbia.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
We'll be working on stories here because today is the official kickoff of the Illinois Bicentennial.
Oh, cool.
Today is this kickoff as it leads up to the actual 200th birthday of Illinois statehood, which is a year from today, December 3rd, 2018.
We'll have to do some stuff leading up to. I know you will, but we'll do some stuff together too, for sure.
Yeah, and there were three capitals in Illinois.
Where were they?
Kaskaskia, which is on the Mississippi River. Just think St. Louis and go south from there. Then it was moved to a southern Illinois city called Vandalia for a while.
And then Vernon Hills.
And then Vernon Hills. Right. In the middle of Hawthorne Shopping Center.
Nice. Right next to the Spencers.
And then it moved to Springfield. Around the 1840s, Abraham Lincoln had something to do with that.
That's cool.
Anyway,
very continue. Cool. Very cool. 1907.
No, Vernon Hills was no Vernon.
1907, the first Christmas seals were sold, and, you know, their labels placed on the mail to raise funds and awareness for charitable programs, specifically tuberculosis and other lung diseases. I believe we've got a commercial here from Frank Sinatra. Is it Frank Sinatra, Curtis? Let's take a listen to that.
Every 5 minutes, another American breaks down with tuberculosis. It can happen to any of us, age, sex, rich or poor. It doesn't make any difference. But right now, each of us has the opportunity to join in the fight against TB through our purchase of Christmas seals. Our Christmas seal dollars are needed for chest x-rays, health education, rehabilitation, and for medical research. For Gordy and for thousands who are young and old, the fight against TB is face-to-face. But for us, it's a lot easier.
There you go, the Christmas seals. 1927, the Grand Ole Opry made its first radio broadcast in Nashville, Tennessee. Still on the air today, the world's longest-running radio program.
Howdy!
Yeah, exactly.
Minnie Pearl.
I've seen the... I can't remember what station it is on. I should know that.
That would be fun to go to.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you aren't into the music necessarily or what...
No, it's legendary, of course.
It is. It's an American institution.
Absolutely
is. A beautiful building, too.
Yeah.
That Grand Ole Opry there?
Gorgeous. Been there.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. 1940, the first NFL championship on national radio. The Bears beat the Redskins 73-0. That was 1940.
73-0.
1941, President Roosevelt delivers his Day of Infamy speech to Congress a day after the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
December 8th. The address, yes.
Yeah. So it's a week from, almost a week from today. Let's take a little listen to that.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific.
And there you go, President Roosevelt, Day of Infamy speech, day after Pearl Harbor, this Friday.
By the way, if you have never been to Pearl Harbor, any visit to Honolulu should be a must-see.
It's a must-see.
Yeah.
1952, the first acknowledgement of pregnancy on television was this week on I Love Lucy. Let's take a listen. This was when she had the baby, but that's the best reference I've got.
An issue is to they could not use the word pregnant
right
on the show.
That's right. She's expecting.
She was expecting.
Or expecting, or whatever Desi would say.
Desi would say it.
But the episode was entitled Lucy is Enciende, which is Lucy's pregnant in Spanish. And that's how they named the episode originally, because they couldn't say pregnant.
They got around it by
saying Spanish. Yep. 1963. I know, isn't that funny? 1963, Frank Sinatra Jr. is captured. Do you remember that?
Kidnapped, I should say. Vaguely. He was returned, obviously, but I have a memory of that.
He was 19. It was December 8th, 1963, at Harris Lake Tahoe. Sinatra was released 2 days later after Frank Sr. paid $240,000, which was... It's a lot of money that way, but back in the dollars today, it's almost $1.9 million.
Is that right?
Yeah. And the ransom demanded by the kidnappers, they were soon captured, prosecuted, and convicted, and sentenced to long prison terms for kidnapping, of which they only served small portions. One of them was claimed to be legally insane at the time of the crime and not responsible for his actions. I did have news reports available, but I chose this instead. It's Don Rickles talking to David Letterman about what happened to Frank Sinatra Jr. Why he was released. Let's take a listen.
Remember when Frank Jr., remember when he was kidnapped?
I remember that,
unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah.
So thank God he comes home safe and sound. Mm-hmm. It's about a month, 2 months later. And I'm sitting with Frank around the living room. He said, Don, we got the kid back. I said, yeah, Frank, it's great. I said, that's wonderful. He said, you know why they let him go? He said, why? They heard him humming in the trunk.
I love that. Absolute classic. Rickles and Letterman.
They heard him humming in the trunk.
Humming in the trunk.
Oh, we can't have this.
Fantastic.
Making them all three, he can't refuse.
Yeah, yeah. Frank Sinatra's birthday's coming up. It would have been 101 or 102, I think. 102, maybe.
Yeah, I think, what was it? It's been a couple of years since the 102. 100th birthday.
It would have been 102. 1965, a Charlie Brown Christmas premieres. It was the first primetime animated TV special based on the comic strip Peanuts by Charles Schulz. It was produced and directed by former Warner Brothers and UPA animator Bill Melendez, who we're going to have, by the way, doing a Plyer Family Christmas Special 2 with my wife and kids. That's going to air on Christmas Day, because we do a lot of pre-tape stuff during Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, like all the hosts do something special. And Bill Melendez is going to join us to talk about producing that Charlie Brown Christmas
special.
That's
fantastic. So, I have a request. Have you done this? Have you done any production on this yet?
No.
Okay, one request here.
Yeah.
Have him please talk about the music, because the music is so
instrumental. Vince Guaraldi. Yeah.
And, in fact, I just pulled out the Charlie Brown Christmas CD the other
That's
day.
Awesome.
And it still sounds great.
Of course it does. Of course it does. All of the Vince Guaraldi stuff, for Thanksgiving, for Halloween, all of his stuff is just, it's just sets a nice mood, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It does, indeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was on CBS till 2000, and then ABC's been running it. I think they just repeated it this weekend. They're going to do it again, I think, leading up to Christmas. Been honored with both an Emmy and a Peabody.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many shows can say that?
Yeah, right. From an animated standpoint. Yep. 1969, the Jackson 5 made their first appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show. The first single was released the year before, I'm a Big Boy Now, and they joined Motown shortly thereafter. Diana Ross is credited with introducing them at one of her concerts. And then after they did that concert, they did Ed Sullivan.
I must confess, I bought Jackson 5 records. I have the original 45, songs like ABC, and I Want You Back.
They were huge.
And little did we know that the little boy who was the lead singer was going to become this giant.
Well, you hear his voice right now. It doesn't even sound like him.
No.
You would never expect.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say real quickly, too, and, you know, he started being out front a little more and more. You know, they were still the Jackson 5. But
he was the star, clearly.
It was the Jackson 5 featuring Michael Jackson. Well, you mentioned Diana Ross. Originally, it was just the Supremes.
Right.
And then it became Diana Ross and the Supremes.
That's right.
So
love to get her for an interview.
Love to work on that.
Yeah. 1981, Muhammad Ali's last fight, losing to Trevor Burbick. And 2008, this moment in Illinois history, Governor Rod Blagojevich is arrested by federal officials for a number of alleged crimes, including attempting to sell the United States Senate seat being vacated by President-elect Barack Obama's election
for
the presidency.
That was a warning, boy.
Right?
Oh, wow.
Everything was turned upside down
at
that point.
Man,
all right, we'll be right back.